I know. Without someone here to record, to run the camera, I'm having to do it all, so bear with us. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 35. And as you're finding that passage, a little bit of background for those who maybe have not been with us through the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians. A little bit of background. Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth. He had founded that church or planted that church in about 50 AD, wrote this book about 5 years later to correct some things that were going on. And what he was trying to correct was some bad teaching, some division that had cropped up in the church, some things that people were not really doing right, and some things that were not being taught right. So he wanted to do this, and we're getting toward the end of his letter, almost the last thing that he's talking about, and he's talking about the subject of resurrection from the dead, which there were people trying to say that people aren't really resurrected from the dead, even though that's, you know, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And we're all expected to follow suit. So he was writing to correct that among other errors that they were having. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35. And as I trust that you found the passage by now, let's, as is our custom, please rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. But someone will ask, how were the dead raised? What kind of body will they have when they come? You fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the body that will be, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain. But God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds its own body. Not all flesh is the same flesh. There is one flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is different from that of the earthly ones. There is a splendor of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars. In fact, one star differs from another star in splendor. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. Like the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this word that we are receiving today. We ask that you would communicate it to our hearts, to our spirits. We ask that we would be attentive to the message this morning. And we just ask that you would speak to us through the Holy Spirit today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I would venture to say that at least most of us in here would believe in resurrection, or at least say we believe in resurrection, even if we don't understand it. By the way, we really don't have to understand how something works for it to work. You know, I drive a car that I have very little understanding of how it works. It still works. I don't have to have an understanding of how gravity works to manage to fall off a cliff. I don't necessarily have to have an understanding of how resurrection works for it to be true. And there's a lot of people that think, oh, if I can't understand it, it must not be true. That's kind of a conceited attitude, I think. But I think within, you know, most of us who have been believers for a while, we would readily admit to believing in resurrection, even if we don't quite fully get it. But Paul takes this portion of his letter to address a couple questions that people are likely to have, or people would have been asking, about the resurrection of our bodies. And since, as believers, resurrection is in our future, it's good for us to have some idea of what it's going to look like, even if we won't fully understand it. And the first thing I want to point out is that our resurrection bodies are individual. I'm going to make the points that they are individual, they are recognizable, they are material, they are incorruptible, and they are the full image of Christ. But we're going to get to each of these one by one. The first thing is our bodies are in the resurrection are individual. We read in verse 38, but God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds its own body. Now, some of you have planted things a lot. Chucky's like, no, I don't plant nothing. That farm just grows. But if you went out and planted wheat, you would be really shocked if you wound up with corn. It just would not be expected. But also, if you're planting wheat, I use wheat as an example because I'm a native Kansan and that's what we have in abundance. If you're planting wheat, lots and lots of wheat, miles and miles of wheat, you're going to have lots of individual wheat plants. And they may all look similar, but you know what? If you look close, they're not going to be exactly the same as the one next to them. It'll be similar, but not the same. I think it's going to be the same with us. We're going to be similar, but not the exact same. We're not all going to be carbon copies of each other. We are going to be still individuals in the resurrection. And Paul also gives us this example in verse 41. In fact, one star differs from another star in splendor. And I'm impressed that he was, you know, mentioning this way before telescopes. Stars are pretty cool. I know you all see them out here more than I do, living in Hopewell. Pretty cool. They're each and every one individually recognizable if you can look at them close enough. Each and every one. We will be each individually resurrected and will be distinguishable from each other. Now, Paul uses two points of comparison here. He uses the seed, of course. But interesting thing about a seed, if you plant seeds, what grows up is not just a seed. It's a whole plant. And he's using this to describe our bodies, our earthly bodies that we inhabit right now, that go into the ground and decay. Those don't grow up into just the same thing they were, in the same way that when you plant some wheat, it would not grow up just as a wheat seed. It grows up as a whole wheat plant. He also uses the example of stars, and stars are just really magnificent to look at. They are so great to think about. so awesome to look at. I think we'll be awesome in a different way. And I want to be sure. I don't think that it's possible to know exactly what our resurrected bodies are going to look like. I think we have some clues. But I don't think that we will know exactly what we're going to look like, what shape we're going to take in the resurrection. I do think, however, that our resurrection bodies will be recognizable. Now, I'm going to give you as an example here from Matthew 28, 8 through 10. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." The women running back from the tomb after Jesus' resurrection, they recognized him. Or we read in John 20, 26 through 28, a week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out and put your hand into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." He was recognizable. Now, we do know that Mary didn't immediately recognize Jesus outside the tomb. She thought he was the gardener. But then when he said, "Mary," she knew him. We also know that the disciples who were walking to Emmaus after the resurrection walked all that distance with him, did not recognize him, until they had invited him in for dinner and he blessed the bread and broke it and then disappeared from them. Then they recognized him. Now, since Jesus is referred to in Colossians 1:18 as the firstborn from the dead, it seems that our resurrection, as those who are to follow, will be similar to his, and that we will be recognizable to our loved ones. I do firmly hold fast to the belief that in heaven, our loved ones will recognize us and we will recognize them. I just think we will, even though we'll look different. Anybody ever seen somebody you hadn't seen in a very long time, but you could instantly tell it was them? When I went to my high school reunion 30 years, a while ago, first thing that struck me was how many old people I went to high school with. The second thing that struck me was some of these people don't change. And then, yeah, there were some that did, but, you know, after talking to them, I could recognize them. We will recognize each other in heaven. Our resurrection bodies will be recognizable to each other. They will be individual. They will be recognizable. They will also be material or actual bodies. Now, something I want to address, and, you know, this may cause some level of controversy, but we do not become angels when we die. Angels are a separate created being. They were created for their purpose. We were created for our purpose. And we as humans are distinct among God's creatures. Angels are great. We don't become them. We also don't become ghosts. Now, as an example of pointing this out, I'd like to read from Luke 24, 36 through 43. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst. He said to them, "Peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled? He asked them. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He had a real body. His hands, his feet, bones, structures. He still bore the marks of the crucifixion and had been dead for 3 days. I guess that could explain why he was hungry. But yeah, he also ate. I mean, what better way to demonstrate that someone has a real physical body than eating? Likewise, our bodies will be physical. They will be real. They will maybe have some characteristics of the earthly body, and they will function. Isn't that cool? Anybody's body function at 100% right now? Yeah. You get to a certain age, you get down to like, yeah, I'm feeling about 80%. I'm good today. Yeah. We will get bodies that function. Like Jesus, we will be resurrected with real physical bodies. But unlike our current bodies, our resurrection bodies will be incorruptible. We read in verses 42 to 44, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Everything about our current bodies that causes them to be weak, sick and dying is going to be gone. Because sin will be gone. Corruption will be finally completely removed from us. Anybody here noticed your body starting to decay? Yeah. Anybody notice that your body doesn't do exactly what you would like it to anymore? Yeah. Anybody notice that your body's just getting older and wearing out and eventually headed toward the grave? Yeah. That is what is happening to us. But the good news is that on the other side of that grave, when we get to heaven, we are resurrected into bodies that are incorruptible. Bodies that will not be dying from the time they come on the scene. Bodies that are permanent, that cannot be destroyed. Isn't that pretty cool? Our bodies will no longer be corruptible because our bodies will bear the full image of Christ. Our resurrection bodies will bear the full image of Christ. We read in verse 49, and just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. We also read, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live sensible, righteous, and godly ways in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is from Titus 2, 11 through 13. We wait for his return and our resurrection. Well, we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, for some of us, that's a very slow transformation. But we are being transformed into that image while we are in this life on the earth. We are not fully in that image. We do not perfectly reflect that image until our resurrection, until we are resurrected from the dead, when we have our glorified bodies, when we fully reflect the moral character of Christ. This does not mean we're going to look like him physically. This means that we will have that moral perfection that he has. Anybody here morally perfect? Yeah, me neither. Some of us are pretty close. But we're not there yet. That doesn't mean we don't try. What we are working to practice in our lives now will finally be complete in the resurrection. How many people here are trying to be a better person? None of you? Okay. I'll say, I got some work to do. We're all trying with varying degrees of success, right? We're not there yet, but we will be. That is the hope that we have. We will no longer have to worry about falling short. We will no longer have to worry about sin, because we will finally be 100% completely free from it. We experience a degree of that freedom from sin now. We know we're free from the final consequences of sin as children of God. But we all still, we're all still prone to fall into sin from time to time. We will finally be free not only from the consequences of our sin, but from sin itself, from its corrupting influence. In the meantime, while we are here living on this earth, we have a responsibility to call others to be free from sin. We call this the gospel. The gospel, as you know, the word means good news. Well, good news is good news. It's, fantastic news. But before it can be good news, it has to be bad news. And what's the bad news? That's right. I threw y'all off by saying the bad news part, didn't I? I usually turn that over to y'all. 1 week out of the pulpit. Yes, the bad news is that we are all born a sinner separated from God. There is nobody walking this earth who was born perfect. We are all born a sinner separated from God, and that's pretty bad. But it gets worse, and what's the worst news? That's right. There is not a thing that we can do about it. We cannot be good enough to earn our salvation. We cannot try hard enough. We can't give enough. We cannot do anything. Even if, even if we suddenly became perfect today and walked out of here and lived the rest of our lives completely not sinning, What do we do about the sins we've already committed? We cannot do a thing about it for ourselves, but that's where the good news comes in. And what's the good news?
Jesus Christ did for us what we can't do for ourselves.
That's right. Jesus Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He was born of a virgin, lived a life that was 100% free from sin. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. He suffered, died, was buried for 3 days, resurrected. That resurrection was proof that his payment is valid. Because it proved everything he said to be true. If we can't trust that what Christ says is true, we can't trust in our salvation, but we can. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's good news. But it gets even better. And what's the best news? That's right. You can't earn it, but you have to receive it, so you have to ask for it. Let's be sure to share that truth with somebody this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together today. We thank you that you have chosen to reveal to us some information about our future in our resurrected bodies. And Father, we ask that we will be willing to share the gospel with somebody this week. We ask that there is anybody here today or watching online later who does not know Christ as their Lord, we would ask that this would be the day they'd come to know him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now as we go to our hymn of invitation, I always like to give you a chance to respond to what you've heard. I have really four simple questions. The first is, do you know Christ as your Lord? Because if you don't, you can today. That's really simple. We can take care of that. I would urge you to not leave today without knowing that. If you know Christ as your Lord, have you followed him in scriptural baptism? If you have not, we can certainly get that on the schedule. If you're saved, baptized, maybe you're looking for a church home, this is a good one. We'd love to have you join us. And then finally, maybe you're saved, baptized, lifetime church member, but maybe you've gone off the rails at some point. You can come home as we stand together and sing.
Hymn number 290, I Am Thine, O Lord. We'll do the first and last verse.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I cannot reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
And now, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. You're doing okay. Well, we'll take that then. Yes, and we do.
Physically strong we are.
find.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know it.
No fighting. No fighting. No
fighting.
Did he blow it out?
Yeah, he blew it out.
No diving. If he got lost, go to the reception. The end. Think about the book to Elsie. Think about the book to help answer the question.
Leave it alone.
God is
you know, if God has called you to do that, he will make sure you know it. It will be firmly implanted on your heart. You'll know.
Okay.
You know, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to tell somebody else to tell you something and then not give you an interest in it.
Right.
So, you know, God will speak to you. You have to listen. And a big part of, you know, I talked about when reading scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I harp on that a lot. You know, prayer. But then also taking time to sit and listen. You know, you read the scripture, you don't have to rush right into something else. You can sit there and listen for God to reveal something
right.
to you from that. You know, and it may be something you've read before a hundred times that you suddenly see slightly differently.
Right. I've had dreams in the past where he told me, like, I'll help my mama and stuff like that. But I know he's real. I know
yeah.
he's real.
Yep.
I'm just a little confused what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I will say confusion is, you know, can be a good thing because it can prompt us to seek.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that you're here, I think, is a good step.
Thank you.
I think, you know.
It's so peaceful here.
Yeah. I do like, you know, that we're a very, you know, a small enough church that everybody knows everybody. You mm-hmm. know, you know, somebody notices if you're not here.
Right.
You know, and we'll check on you.
That's good.
You know, people get to know each other better. They
see, that's the way it was when I was going to church with my nanny when I was little. It was a small church, and sometimes we would have church outside on the seats for the sunset
mm-hmm.
and listen to the preacher, and it was just so peaceful. And that's what I feel here.
Oh, good. Yeah. A lot of churches like to be, you know, loud and,
right.
you know, and what works for the, you know, okay, you know, there is a time for loudly praising God and things like that. I'm not discounting that.
Right.
But there's also a time to peacefully reflect
mm-hmm.
on him and,
right.
you know, try to pay attention. That's the whole thing I really, you know, I've been kind of emphasizing the last few years is we have to slow down and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get so rushed in what we got to do, and we get everything's urgent.
Yeah, but it's like when I lived in West Arkansas and Uncle Rado, he owns a lawn bay shop behind where he lives, and it's been since I've been there, it's been steady. Do this, do that, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
I told my aunt, as a Arkansas County, I have to go to church. Where because I feel lost and I feel like I'm crying inside and I can't stand that. And so she talked to Katie
mm-hmm.
and Katie works at the pharmacy that Connie worked at and Katie directed Connie directly here.
Yep. And I think this is I love this church. I've
mm-hmm.
been pastor here for 10 years.
Okay.
So yeah, which out of the 250-year history ain't that long, but
right.
but they have been really good to me. They've been really good to each other.
Right. I see
they
that.
Are, you know, I mean, they do care for people. And like I said, that's, you know, I got them, you know, I kind of led them to become the church that prays
mm-hmm.
because they care about each other. Whether, or, you know, even in situations where they can't maybe do anything practical to help,
right.
they can everybody pray.
Right.
And so they do that, and then as kind of as a result of that, they also, they look for practical things to do to help each other.
Right, that's good.
They are very good. I you know.
As a family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and of course, three quarters of them are related to each other
somehow. Right. Yeah. I know, but when I walked in, she was like, oh, yeah, I've seen your mom. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I know you. I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah, everybody here goes to the pharmacy because they've all gone to
right.
the pharmacy since Howard ran it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, when I came
definitely a small town. Sometimes people may be more in your business than you want.
Right.
But also, it's good. I'm really glad that you're here.
Thank you. Me too.
I'm going to grab myself and my wife and daughter and grandkids are waiting out in the car for me.
Yeah, I got her. She's going too, but I let my daughter out the kennel, but she's in the kennel.
Oh, yeah. She can be like, what happened to
right.
you?
But thank y'all so much.
Well, you're very welcome. Hope to see you Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You're